What's with all the police everywhere?
I'm not supposed to tell. You know the butcher? That freaking nut job that goes around chopping people up? The feds heard that he's gonna be here today. So they set up a trap for him. This whole concert? It's a trap. They're watching all the exits. They're checking everyone that leaves. There's no way to get out of here.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And this, or we, anyways, are Just Another Movie Night. And this is before and after reviews, where we give our thoughts before and after seeing brand new movie theater releases. And
spoiler free, of course.
We try to do spoiler free, of course. And yes, you know, our instant thoughts, you know, right after the movie. Raw, completely raw thoughts. We're raw dogging it.
I don't know if anyone wants to hear my raw thoughts about this movie that we're going to see.
Yeah, today we are seeing the movie that has such a glorious title, Trap.
That has many meanings, like caught in Shamanama Ding Dong's trap, or how do we get out of this trap? Or is this a twisty twist trap?
Well, I mean, look, this is M. Night Shyamalan's latest flick, his writing and directing return again. And every year he's got a movie now. And yeah, his movies are pigeonholed in this idea of what a twist is. It's a hard thing going to see one of his movies, because every single time you do, you just expect a twist. It's gotten tropey to the, you know, it's gotten such a trope at this point where I feel like at this point when there's no twist, I feel more confused.
I mean, I feel like in some way there's always a twist with his movies, whether it's small or large, but this one in particular, I feel already just from watching the trailer, it's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be ridiculous.
I mean, here's the thing that's going for it that is what I like. It seems like a horror movie, which is cool. I guess we're following a serial killer, maybe a serial killer at a concert, which is a bizarre thing. But it's Josh Hartnett. And I like Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, I'm happy with his comeback. He did really good in Oppenheimer.
He's never gone away completely, but every time he appears, I always really enjoy seeing him.
Well, what was the movie we saw him in before Oppenheimer? It's been a while.
I couldn't tell you.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I'm sure once we look it up, we're like, oh yeah.
Will we though? Because I don't remember. He went from like unfortunate haircut to hunky dude within... which seemed like a snap of a finger, but it's actually been a couple of years.
Yeah, anybody can listen to our Oppenheimer review where I just started gushing about how attractive I found him in the movie.
Yeah,
I kept talking about it. I was like, my God, he looks like a whole other human being.
Yeah, he really does.
Very bulked up. Now, okay, talking about Trap. This movie, we have to break down some things because we... Oh, I don't know. Maybe the day the trailer first released, we saw a blurb where some guy was like talking about how this movie's twist is going to be, probably, if you had to guess. And he's like, what would be the craziest twist? Well, he noticed and he pointed out that the first trailer says in the world of M. Night Shyamalan, not the latest movie or any of that in the world. So a lot of people were like, well, what does that mean? That means that he's starting to slowly create a cinematic universe where he did Glass, Split, and Unbreakable, and they all turned out to be in the same universe. So he, I think they're suggesting, well, what if Trap is in the same universe? Well, we know at the end of Glass, there was a setup about a organization of people who knew about people with superpowers or abilities, and they seem to be putting them together or taking care of them. And I mean, the twist was that in that movie, they killed everybody. But they're still out there. So why set that up unless he was setting it up for future movies? And then we saw Knock at the Cabin. I believe that's what that was called, which was the movie before this, and there was no attachment. So everybody was questioning, well, why set all that up? Well, the funny thing that this person pointed out online, they said, what if the movie is going to, the twist is going to be, what if Haley Joel Osment is the one that is working with that organization to trap this guy?
Yeah, but he sees dead people.
Yeah. So
So
what if it's the victims of the serial killer?
okay, that could be cool.
I mean, like, when I saw that thing, I was like, if it's not that, I think I'll be
It's not
disappointed.
going to be that.
It's not, but what a great guess. But how funny it is to hear people try to figure out his movies before they happen.
Yeah, and a lot of your guesses are 5 times better than the actual outcome of his films. Like, you could have totally wrote this movie or any of his movies much better than he can.
I don't know about that. Thank you, though. I'll take any credit, whatever. But that I wish I could do that. His movies, I guess we should talk about that. His movies are a little, we're on the disappointed side with his movies.
I don't think I cared for one since, I don't know, it was the last one I liked. I mean, Old I thought was trash. I didn't care for that. I did like, I do like The Sixth Sense, but that's like a one and done movie. You know, I can't watch that repeatedly because I just know what's happening now. It's like, okay, the crappening is the worst thing, one of the worst things I personally have ever seen in my whole life. It
Yeah,
was one
yeah.
of the worst movies ever made, period, in my opinion. Lady in the Water, trash. I mean, what was that movie that I said was okay? It was The Visit.
Yeah.
That one was okay. The Village, it's okay.
Same thing with Signs. It's okay.
Yeah, okay.
Unbreakable's good. I always joke around about how he's had a career, a roller coaster career, where it's a complete drop. It started at the top of the roller coaster, it's like all the way up in the air, and then his films just keep dropping
Yeah.
in a steady decline. And then we finally got to a point where he started making a little bit of a return to form, and people were pointing it out with Split and The Visit. And then the Glass came out, and everybody was like, And then Old came out, and everybody's like, no, he's back to doing some real bad movies. But the thing I really enjoy about him is his movies fall in a territory of so bad it's good.
Not all the time.
Even the bad stuff is so bizarre and so weird that I end up laughing during the movie instead of being what I'm supposed to be feeling. And Old, The Happening, even parts of Signs and The Visit, like Split and Glass, there's parts where you're just like, should I be laughing?
Yeah. I mean, I thought James McAvoy did a good job in Split.
Oh, he's
He's,
what carries that
yeah,
movie.
he's good. But I didn't find the movie particularly great.
It has bad characters in it again.
Yeah.
Besides him, and I think Anya Taylor-Joy.
We love her, yeah.
Yeah, she was also in that movie. But everybody else in that movie was so weird. He always has these, he has this trope where he writes characters into his movies that are like aliens. None of them talk like real people. And then he sticks himself in his movies.
That annoys the shit out of me.
And he usually makes himself an important role. Basically, like, he's the MacGuffin all the time.
Yeah.
The thing that's going to push the plot in a certain direction. He's needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. In each one of his movies. And that's become another trope to see, where is he going to put himself in this? You know, where's that character who's going to show up and talk randomly about hot dogs? He is just, he's an odd writer. And his directing style sometimes can be interesting and then also baffling. Because I feel like he did this in Old. There was some interesting directing, but then there was also jarring directing where it made me feel nauseous at times.
Yes, I felt nauseous.
And The Knock at the Cabin, the same thing. He had some good actors in there. Mm-hmm. Like Dave Bautista is great in that movie. You know, he's got other actors. And then all the other actors are like crazy and wasted.
Yep. Yeah, Rupert Grint was in that. We haven't seen him in anything since Harry Potter, I don't think.
He does TV shows. He has like a couple TV shows. Oh, okay. He actually was on Shyamalan's TV show, which we haven't seen, called Savant, I believe.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, he was wasted in that movie. Like, I mean, could have just given him a little bit more screen time, but they didn't. I don't know. My overall feeling of Shyamalan's movies is that it's just, I'm expecting the ending to just be crap. Like, I sat through like an hour, almost 2 hours of a movie, and then I get this shitty ending, and I feel like with Trap, I feel like I'm going to be just that. Trapped in the theater, I can't get out because this thing is like just keeping me hostage. I think that this is going to be a very predictable situation.
I don't know how predictable it can be when it's about a guy trying to stay alive and get out of a trap where cops are looking for him. That could be a fun time.
I mean, if it's like the Haley Joel Osment thing, like you said, that would be badass, but that's not going to happen because that's too clever. But also, I think that part of me is already turned completely off because of the trailer and how they're saying that they arranged this whole entire concert to catch this one guy. So you're talking about, you know, thousands and thousands of concert goers are attending this concert that they used as a stage, literally, to set up this killer.
Well, those people aren't there to catch him. Those people, for some reason, if it is a trap, why would they involve a whole bunch of kids' lives?
Right. Why would you put all these people in danger? Yeah. I don't know. It just sounds a little weird.
That plot line is so bizarre.
So what I'm thinking, makes me
think it could be interesting.
It's good. There's going to be a twist, like the trap that we think is being set for Josh Hartnett. He's really setting for them, for the police, right? Like it's going to be a fake out, right? It's going to be like, you know how he likes to
The question is how they know he was even there, and if they know he's there, that means they know who he is, and why wouldn't they just catch him later?
Right.
So there's got to be like, someone told them he will be there.
Yeah.
Which is odd. And that's why I like that person. And it wasn't my theory, by the way. I just heard this theory. And I was like, that is so good. It needs to be talked about.
I think it's going to... That would be wonderful if that were to happen. Especially since they threw us in with the whole world of M. Night Shyamalan.
That definitely... And they changed it after that. None of the trailers say that. But I think someone slipped up and kind of gave a little too much away. It could be him. He could have gave his own ego and said, oh, put from the world.
Yeah, like he wants everyone to start thinking, let me tell you.
Yeah.
This is like, hey, don't dupe me, man. Okay, you're not going to dupe me. I think I got it. I think I got this one.
I don't know. I think that there's a possibility that this could be fun. But I know him, and I know that's where it's going to get crazy.
Yeah, I mean...
So I'm interested. And I got to tell you, some people might be like, well, why do you go to see these movies if you have a problem with them so much?
I have also been asked that, yes.
And I will say that because I find entertaining in seeing how his movies will turn out.
Yeah, that's always my answer.
I find entertainment in his storytelling. And then I also find entertainment in how much of a wrong direction he can go.
Right.
And I have never had so many fun experiences than seeing some of his movies in the theater.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with us being with our friends and just laughing because
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, when we went to see The Happening, I literally could not believe what I was seeing.
Oh, yeah.
I never wanted to walk out of a movie so bad ever. I was like, this is embarrassing.
I
This is an
never.
embarrassment. The acting in that movie, it was horrid. Horrid. I mean, it was trash.
I
I can't.
definitely did not want to walk into that movie
Oh, I wanted out.
because I couldn't believe it and I wanted to know where it was going. I did want to walk out of Lady in the Water.
I also wanted to walk out of Lady in the Water.
That was the toughest of his films to see in the theater.
Yeah.
I just remember we went with a huge group
Yep.
and we were in shock. I was in shock at how bad it was. I can't stand that film, but
Yeah.
I do know that some people have a little more of a leeway with him. They just enjoy it. They enjoy where the mystery is going, which
Yeah,
is, you know.
see, I get it. See, that's me. That is who I am. I love the mystery of, okay, what's going to be the twist? But then when it happens and we get to the end and I'm disappointed, I get angry as hell. And then I'm like, I fucking hate him. I hate him. I'm not seeing any more of his movies. And then here we are.
Yeah. Did we mind Knock at the Cabin that much? I don't think we did. I think we were
No.
like, it's okay.
I gave it a 5. It was a mediocre film to me. That's not the lowest score I could possibly give it, so it wasn't that bad, but I don't know. What do you think you're gonna come out of this with?
A six.
Oh my goodness.
I'm hoping for the best.
You're very hopeful. I am not. I am not hopeful.
My biggest question is, do I need beer for this movie?
No, because I think we need to be 100% on our game for this psychological thriller that's going to mess with our minds.
Don't. Where do you get the
I don't
psychological
know.
part?
I'm just making shit up because I'm trying to come up with some scenario that would make this a nice joyride for us. But I gotta tell you, I know I'm gonna walk out of here pissed off.
What if the twist is that it's his daughter who's the killer and he's just protecting her?
So his daughter is literally locking people in a basement or whatever and chaining them up and all
Yeah,
this.
sure, why not?
Are they going to say that she's a cannibal or something?
They're gonna say she's just insane and he is
Oh yeah.
protecting her like a mother cub.
Oh yeah. What's the name of the artist that they're going to see at the concert?
Yeah, that's like a big deal that some real pop star.
Is it a real pop star?
Yeah, and I don't know who it is because I'm just not hip with it.
Oh, I'm not hip either. All right. Well, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was like oh, it's Lady Raven. Lady Raven.
That's the character name.
Is it?
That's not the person.
Lady Raven music. I don't know.
Again, that's the character, not the person.
Oh. It's his daughter. His daughter Salika Shalamon is playing her.
Get the hell out of
I
here.
am not kidding.
It's not the one that just directed her own movie?
No, that's the other one.
He
That's
has two
the
daughters?
yeah.
And this daughter's a singer.
And this one is a singer,
Get the hell out of
and her
here.
name is Salika Shalamon. She's an R&B singer, and she stars as a fictional pop star, Lady Raven, in the film, and wrote 14 songs for this movie. And M. Night Shyamalan is quoted as saying, "There's a beautiful mutuality of respect when working with his daughter on his new film."
Oh wow. Okay.
Okay.
That's really strange.
Yeah. All right. So I get it. She's really pretty.
Okay.
So yeah, that's an interesting thing there. Okay. Well, it's not. It's cool. It's a cool bit of trivia, but
Yeah.
it's not, making me more excited for the film. I could not possibly be less excited for this film because I know I'm going to be disappointed. I just know it.
Yeah.
It's always a letdown, man. Always. There's never like a.
This is one of those rare times I'm like excited because I feel like it's a cultural, I feel like it's a so bad it's good experience where you're just chuckling so much, just laughing nonstop, and I'm looking forward to that idea.
Well, I can hear our friend that we're going with to see the movie. I can hear him saying, "Aw, fuck him." Walking out.
Oh,
Fuck
he's
this
usually the
guy.
one that gives is the leeway. He usually says everything's like, yeah, it's not that bad.
Yeah, you're right, but this time I think it's going to be the opposite. We'll see. I don't know. I could be 100% wrong, but I'm telling you, I am not optimistic about this. I am not optimistic about any one of his new movies that come out ever. That's like, I try to go in with an open mind and, you know, some kind of optimism, but not when it comes to his movies. Not at all. Because I'm always let down. Always. I'm always like, what the fuck is this when I leave there? Always.
I feel like I'm more let down when he doesn't do something crazy.
Well, if he does something crazy here, that would actually, you know, boost me up. I'd be like, okay, hey, all right, he's taking risks.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
All right, let's go see this.
I've never felt this before. I feel out of control.
Shoot left. Where should I put her?
Thank you.
This individual that we're searching for won't panic. He's realized he can't get out. He's going to try to cause chaos.
Dad, what are you doing? You're acting weird.
This dude is next level insane.
What's happening?
I think you're looking for me.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
How you all doing? You having fun?
Woo! Come closer.
What's going on, Daddy?
Open the goddamn door!
I can't get away. I can't stop. I'll just do this one last one.
And we're back. We just saw something. Oh my goodness. This takes everything out of me to not become talking trash.
I'm hanging on by a thread. I think that even if this did become talking trash, I think that my utter disgust and loathing of this film would stop me from actually talking trash because I don't even want to waste my breath on it. That's the way I feel.
Here's the thing. This is one of those rare times that I talk to people outside of the movie theater, which I usually never do. We just wait to talk on the show.
Well, because it's just usually the two of us, but today we had two friends.
But I had to. Usually we just leave and we're like, we gotta go do this thing. I had to, because I can talk about this movie for 2 years.
Oh my God.
So much inside of me. Every frame of this movie needs to be dissected and discussed, because holy crap. Every time I think that this man can't outdo himself with bad decision making, he goes and you go and totally redeem yourself.
No. Oh, he my did gosh. Not redeem himself.
No, he didn't redeem himself, but the joke is like, He tops himself. Now, is this the happening level? No. It's not the happening level. But man, oh man. This movie is that he really wanted to make a movie around his daughter.
That's so basically what he did.
What I think happened here was that, and this definitely is his daughter. They're not, because in this movie, he actually appears and says that he's our uncle.
Well, of course, he's not going to say father because that's too on the nose. But yes, she is 100% his daughter. 100%.
Okay, so he wrote a movie to showcase his daughter. He goes so far that he makes an entire stage production, she made an entire album as this fake character in this movie.
Lady Raven.
And she actually has more acting scenes in this movie that she needs than anybody needs. Just the fact that she's in the movie as a character that actually has like dialogue beyond the scene of like being the stage performer,
mm-hmm.
is where I go, it's very clear that you did this on purpose to try to give your daughter all of this stuff.
I mean, really, it was the Salika Shyamalan movie. That's what it was. I mean, she was front and center. I mean, yes, I know Josh Hartnett was in it. He has a daughter also.
Oh, he's the main character, yeah.
It's just, You could see right off the bat what he was doing. 15 minutes in, you're like, okay, this is just a bit gratuitous now.
Yes, yes. What I guess really needs to be said, let's just get the positive out of the way. The positive is Josh Hartnett. Once again, Josh Hartnett, he could do anything. And I think every time we see him in a movie, I'm like, even when it's trash, he brings something out of it that makes it interesting. He does, even with his hair, we joke around about it in two of his movies. He's still very interesting. And he's one of these actors that I don't think gets used enough. And in this movie, he really shows that he can do crazy acting very well.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that he's given a very bad vehicle to be inside of, to showcase his acting. Because I think with McAvoy took over, like when he did Split. When he directed Split, Shyamalan, McAvoy very much took over the movie. And I think that I know a lot of people give that movie a lot of passes. I think it's a bad movie with an excellent performance. And I think McAvoy is so good in it that people are tricked into thinking that's an actually good movie. Right. I just think it's McAvoy being completely on stage and just going crazy. And it's a lot of fun to watch. Here, unfortunately, I don't think Josh Hartnett's performance is shot well enough to make that same kind of transition. You know, where Shyamalan can get pushed out of the way. I think Haley Joel Osment did the same thing with Bruce Willis in Sixth Sense. Anything that was a problem with Shyamalan's directing or writing kind of gets elevated by great acting. I think that is his best movies have always had that. You know, like we said, Bruce Willis. And I would say even The Village has this, and also Signs. They have good actors in there.
It's just unfortunate that these good actors get stuck in these god-awful scripts. And it makes me feel bad for them. It really does.
Well, I think what you just said is kind of interesting, because I wouldn't necessarily say that this is exactly a bad script. The concept of the script is interesting. It's that it needed someone to come along and add, they needed a script doctor, and it needed a different director. If he was just doing concepts and passing them along, I think that something could have been made out of this, because the idea of, you know, what you've seen in the trailer already is a father and a daughter going to a concert, and then slowly finding out that there's a serial killer, and cops are there trying to track the serial killer down. That could be an interesting movie.
It could be.
And I pointed out after the movie, I said, if this was directed by the 1980s Brian De Palma, the 70s De Palma, whatever, this might have been a very good film.
I would take that 100%.
Because it would have been stylized, it would have built suspense, and it would have used, like, it would know how to film a scare or some kind of thriller element that might have elevated it. None of that is here. The trailer is, to me, a huge lie, because the trailer shows stuff in very inventive and creative ways. And then when you see it on screen, it just plays out so straightforward that there's nothing, there's no, I don't know how to explain it. There's no artistic view to it. There's nothing added to it to elevate it in any way.
No.
And the thing is, the movie, the script is so bad that when Hartnett is shown acting with his face, it's good. But you're just like, damn, is this missed? It's just misshot. The movie around it, these elements, he is doing way too much carrying of this really, really cheesy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, all of Shyamalan's problems, and I know you can definitely agree with me on this, Shyamalan's problems are all very evident. His characters.
Yes.
There's multiple times that characters show up, say things, and react unlike any human being would. And I would say that they lead characters into situations that are so, like, face-palming. You're like, why?
It is, like, I mean, are these people real human beings? I mean, how stupid can you fucking get? It's like, there's no way that any normal human being would behave this way.
Yeah.
Or be this trusting, especially in a society like this, especially when there's a serial killer supposedly at your fucking concert that you're working at. That's like, are you kidding me?
That alone is the flimsy premise to this film. It is so flimsy that you can't help but laugh immediately that the FBI seem to know that there's a killer at a concert, right? And they're using it as a trap, as the movie says, right? I guess. They're willing to put 30,000 people at risk.
30,000 people.
For a possibility.
Yeah, for a shot in the dark.
For a shot in the dark.
They don't even know if the guy is really there. Okay, I'll say that. And just the idea that this whole big stage production and the ridiculousness of this Pop-Tart, you know, that's singing on stage, like, it's just so stupid. I'm sorry if you can hear the anger in my voice, but I think I've just reached the end with this fucker, okay? I just have. I can't take it anymore. Every single movie that we watch of his is just a piece of shit. I can't do it. Like, I mean, and we watch pieces of crap, you know, all the time for fun. But those movies, like, they know what they are. They know that they're crap. He actually has an ego that is so large. Like, not only to think that he's duping the whole goddamn world with his twist, he's not. There's nothing there. But the fact that he has to put himself in his movies all the time, he has to totally, like, showcase his daughter like anyone cares. I mean, honestly, are you making a movie about your daughter or are you making a movie about something? Like, it was just too extra. I felt like I was sitting at a pop concert, and one of the worst pop concerts of all time. It was terrible. I just couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. It was, as you can see, I'm angry. I think I've reached a wall with his movies. And if he put any kind of thought into this, it could have been so much better. Like, the online theories that we spoke about earlier, they would have been more interesting than what we got, for sure.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Adding to what you're saying, I find him fascinating because there's always this reference to So Bad It's Good movies, where people talk about directors and writers of So Bad It's Good movies. And a lot of people talk about how once a director or writer knows that they have made something accidentally bad, but the people love it because of how bad it's gotten, they start making movies after that, intentionally trying to make a bad movie again to make people laugh, to carry on that success. And so people say, well, it's impossible to replicate it. Only once in a maybe every 10 to 15, 20 years maybe, a guy comes along that constantly his ego is not ever checked. He doesn't believe anybody what they say because he's so into himself that he continues to make movies without ever understanding what is making him famous. And I would say that Shyamalan is that guy, just like maybe Neil Breen is, but even Neil Breen has become very obvious that he now knows, and he can do something cheap and stupid, and people will watch it because of that. Shyamalan, on the other hand, is so egotistical that he will continue to make these big blockbuster movies, go out of his way, and think that he's making something very stylish and interesting, and people see them. Now, I will say he has a fan base who give him way too much credit.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly watch movies that he's made, and they don't see how bad some of the dialogue or the characters never feel particularly human. They always feel like bizarre caricatures of, like, real humans. They always feel goofy and they say weird things. And you never, and I think that's a reason that some of his twists have ever worked is because of that that oddity that makes us feel like nothing is face value.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I did not feel that way when I watched The Sixth Sense. I didn't feel that at all.
Like, you're talking about someone's first movie.
Yeah, and because
and it was a hit.
Because it was his first movie, I feel like there should have been a lot more wrong with it than there really was. It seems like his movies got progressively worse.
I agree with that. I'm always talking about that roller coaster. I think I said in the opening here. Yeah, well, that's the thing. He had an eye. He was doing what like De Palma did and Tarantino do, where they love a certain director and they take little cues and they say, oh, I want to expand upon that, or I want to pay tribute to the thing I love. And with The Sixth Sense, it was in a time where twist movies were becoming very popular, but no one expected them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not to the point it is now where we're all so set up to have twists constantly in every movie that we're always expecting them and we can see them coming.
Well, I mean, everybody expects the twists in his particular film because he's like the king of it.
But you're talking about Sixth Sense. Now,
right.
Nobody knew that yet.
True.
We didn't know that until maybe his third or fourth movie.
Which was, The Village? Was that the second one?
No, Unbreakable was the second.
Unbreakable.
Then Signs, and then Village.
And then The Village, okay.
So around The Village, everybody was like, oh, that's his thing. Mm-hmm. What's going to be his next twist?
Mm-hmm.
And he's ridden that train from there. He knows that's his thing. And I think he's tried to get out of it, but he can't.
But you said that you think it's because, you know, his ego won't allow him to now. So, like, you feel like he's stuck. Like, he almost feels like people are definitely going to see his movies and he's going to be successful at this because they want to know what the twist is going to be.
I don't think that's what it is with him. I don't think that's what he thinks. He's done many interviews where he's talked about himself like he is the most incredible filmmaker. And he's gone on a few times when his movies were bombing so bad, he kind of like left. And then he came back and he made it, I think it was The Visit, kind of like was a hit in mm-hmm. a weird way. And no one was expecting it. And it was a smaller, lower budget for him. And he was like, well, they're just figuring out what I've always known, that I'm great.
Jesus.
Yeah, kind of in that sense. I don't know. I know that's not exactly what he said, but he's hinted around about it. And people point out to him, you put yourself in these movies with these, you give yourself these roles that are very important, like in Lady in the Water, which is the most in your face, disturbing, egotistical move. He put himself in like a Jesus writer character.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it is very unsettling to see someone do that. And he's done that in all of his movies where he keeps putting himself in. He's always going to be in a moment that's important. And that ego comes through with every movie.
It is literally, you're right. It's in the most like pivotal point of the movie that he shows up. You know, he did it in Old also at the most pivotal time.
Yeah. It's the reveal moment or it's always like that. It's in a very important section. Like something is going to happen, except like, no, I would say that they're all pivotal in a weird way. Even if they're stupid, it doesn't matter. He just does this. And in this movie, he stepped it further by making a movie for his daughter. So yeah. It's like a whole nother level of ego.
Yeah, that's why I'm so angry right now, I think. It's just because of the gratuitous, just like, what do you call that? You know, when your family is involved, like, it's just so like
nepotism.
Yeah, I just, come on, yeah. Man, really.
And if you're gonna do that, really make it look good.
Yeah,
like do something. I mean, there's so many movies that have had like doing Hollywood or stage shows or whatever in a film and make them look so flashy and believable, and then here it just feels so odd.
Yeah.
Like, it just, everything feels odd. This is the kind of movie that takes place at a concert. And people are just walking around while the concert's apparently going on. And it's not, like, just a couple people. Like, if someone going to the bathroom. It's tons of people are littering the hallways constantly. And it's such a big arena that a character can constantly run into this one other character randomly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what are the odds of that?
Yeah.
You know, I can understand one time, but multiple times finding each other, it's just that kind of absurdity. that this movie just kind of hinges on. And while I kind of thought it was fun in the sense of watching a character move around during this whole thing and be like cunning and trying to figure out ways to do it, like virtually the live action Splinter Cell, like going through and doing the stealth mission. That's kind of funny, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek fun. But then when the movie starts taking itself extremely serious, it gets baffling. Yeah. And nothing particularly makes sense. People do things, and things happen, and you're constantly... If you're not, this is what bothers me, if you're not watching the movie going, but what about that thing? What about, how is this happening? Why not do this thing? If you're not doing that, then you are very easy. And I think that's his target audience. Like, that's the audience he wants. He doesn't want you to think about things too much. He just wants you to watch it. Unfortunately, if you're that kind of person that gets kicked out of immersion, like, you know, being immersed into a movie, and it just backs you out because you're constantly thinking, where's that character? Where are the cops? What are they doing? How is this happening? You know?
Which we do.
Which... I can't help it because
I was telling you in the movie theater, which we never do, but I couldn't help it because this is a Shyamalan movie. But like, I was just like, what the fuck is this? What is this guy doing? What is... I just couldn't keep it to myself because it was just so baffling. Yeah. The choices that he made.
You say we never do that. The reason you don't do that is because in a good movie, you don't need to do that.
True.
Because you're completely sucked in. A bad movie pushes you out.
Right.
And, I mean, and this is one of those movies.
We watched Dune 2. We were completely silent.
My mouth was hanging open. I think I was drooling.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, we were just drooling the whole time. But, I mean, this movie, I don't think that I've thrown my hands up in anger that many times. Because I'm just like, how stupid can you make these characters? I mean, how stupid? It's just, what are we watching? Are you trying to make the audience feel stupid? Or, I mean, what is going on? Because I felt like it dumbed me down.
Yeah,
I really did. I felt dumbed down after like watching some of these scenes in this movie.
I'm not even sure how long this movie is, but there was a part in this movie where I got to and I went, it's still going?
Yeah, you actually said that out loud.
I was like, I cannot believe it's not over.
Yeah, it was an hour and 45 minutes long.
Wow.
And I feel like...
I can't believe it was able to stretch that.
Because most of it was her singing on stage. I mean, most of the concert was her singing on stage, let's be honest.
I don't know if this movie is cut into two parts in the sense of where it is, but I don't know. There was one moment where I was like, I can't believe this movie isn't taking place during this one thing. Instead, it just keeps going and going and going. And when you think it ends, it feels like it ends multiple times.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going. And you're like, are you shitting me? What, like, really?
Yeah.
Cut this movie back,
and
man.
And actually, when we thought, in those times when we thought it was going to end, I was actually pissed off. Because I'm like, okay, I'm not satisfied by this. Nope. Mm-mm.
There's no way to be satisfied.
No, no. But you know what? I did know going in that I was just going to feel this way. I just knew it.
Yeah.
I just knew it.
You know, it's unfortunate. And it's very easy to say that, to say and listen to us and say, well, you guys were already... sure that you were going to hate it. I always want to be shocked. I always want to come out and be like, ah, oh, damn, you know, that was way better than I thought. I think last week on the podcast, I ate my words at the end of the night. I said, you know, I was very worried and concerned and I was blown away by the movie. And here we are where I was like, again, I don't know. I want it to be good. I have a feeling because of his track record, I'm not going to enjoy it. But, yeah, I mean, while you are saying it's, like, terrible and you never want to see anything else again, I want to see them because I actually feel like I'm going to school classes of how not to make movies. Like, that's how I see his films. I feel like this needs to be a class for filmmakers. Like watch
the anti-filmmaker.
Watch his movies and go, what's wrong here? Why doesn't this work? What about this would you have done differently? How could you have improved on this? I feel like I could make a whole school class just out of studying his films.
That's like, true. Like, you could.
Now, Mark Wahlberg comes out down this hallway, and this woman randomly asks him, You were trying to kill me in my sleep. And Mark Wahlberg is now going to say, no. Now, what would you do? What would you do to improve this? Anything.
Literally
anything. Why would you even do this scene? That's what you require. And you can make a whole class just on that. Mm-hmm. Why is this happening? Yep. Why would this happen? What are the choices around this?
Clean up the dialogue.
Yeah. And that's why I'm fascinated. You said you can't take... I feel like it's necessary to be a film fan and watch good movies and then go... And, you know, you hear a lot of people say, oh, I love movies. I love going to the movies. But I don't know what the... Why do you guys think one thing is bad and one thing's good? This is why. Like, this is the necessary thing you have to see. You have to watch a good movie and then this movie and then go, what's the difference here? What makes a good movie a good movie? What makes a bad movie a bad movie? And I think it's like... It's almost necessary to see these kind of movies just so we can appreciate good movies even more.
That's true. And, you know, like I said before, we watch a lot of crap. I mean, but we know going in that it's going to be crap. Every time I see a Shyamalan movie, I feel like, okay, is this one going to piss me off worse than the last one? Because it seems like that's what keeps happening. It's like, and then there was this break in all that trash with Knock at the Cabin, because I actually gave that a mediocre score. I gave it a 5.
Yeah, there was things about it that were good.
Yeah. But then here we are, and we're starting all over at square one again, where now we're going to start going down the path of the shit. Again. Yet again.
But again, every one of his movies has something about it that is intriguing. Yes. Or something interesting.
And I will say Josh Hartnett was the standout in this movie.
Just like Batista in the last one, in Knock at the Cabin.
Yes.
Someone asked us, I don't know if it was you, but is old worse or better? And I would say at least old was trying something new.
Well, then what am I going to do? Because, you know, I hated old so much that I gave it a 1.
Oh my God, did you really?
Yes, I did. I walked out of there infuriated. I was ready to like throw something. I gave it a 1. So I don't know how what to do. Because I hated this movie. But you know what, though? I don't know if I hated it as much as I hated old now that I'm thinking back on it.
Okay.
Because...
This is where we're going to be completely split then.
Yeah. I see what you did. Yeah. I can't. I think I'm just going to give this... I'm going to have to give this one like a 4. It's better, I think. Even though it, you know, was annoying with the whole ridiculous concert set design and all that crap, the plot point and all that. I think that this one was better than old.
I mean, I don't know how I feel. I think I'm going to give this a 4.
Yeah, a 4.
Or a 3. I don't know.
It's not poorly acted. It's not poorly directed. It's competently filmed. But
there's nothing to it. It's very, very stale. It's
generic, yes, but it's competent.
Can I just tell anybody listening, this is the longest before and after we've ever done, probably.
Yeah, we got it.
I just have to say that there's a shot in this movie that just tells you how bad the decision-making is, where a character goes, can I use your piano? And they put their arm extended out toward the piano, and then the camera follows the arm to the piano.
Yeah, it's like Vanna White spinning the letters on Wheel of Fortune.
It's so bad. You go, holy crap, that just... The fact that you even noticed the camera shot like that is in itself horrible. I can't imagine, but I think a 4 is right, only because I always say so bad it's good movies, or movies like this are 4s. Like, I always say that's a perfect score for them, because it has to be seen to be believed.
Yeah,
but I know people are going to like it way better than me, and I'm afraid for that, but...
Yeah, well, we already had, met people at the theater that we know, and they liked it. So, you know, whatever. Everyone has their own opinion. That's cool. I was mad a little bit before, getting a little amped up, but I've calmed down now. I thought about some things, reflected.
So you've seen the signs.
You're
using your sixth sense,
and
you're ready to go to visit the village.
Yes, yes.
Just totally unbreakable.
You better see yourself out, sir.
This podcast is getting old.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, yeah, that's it. I'm out. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Look, I'm just saying, if the glass breaks,
I'm out.
Then we're split on our decision.
I've had it with then... you. Okay. I love you, and I've had it with you, and so, I'm going to lay in my bed.
So we're going four? We're both going four?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm so mad this isn't talking trash. I mean, it kind of is.
It should be a talking trash.
Because
but...
everything in this movie needs to be talked about. It is... Every moment was like, are you kidding me?
But we didn't end up doing a talking trash on Old. And Old was really trash.
And I've wanted to. His movies could all be talking trash episodes. Like, it could just be an entire thing. And there's one we've never even seen, I'm afraid to watch.
All right, you know what we'll do? We'll do like a little,
a return?
Yeah, like a return of Shyamalan or whatever. And I can't even say his freaking name anymore. Because I refer to him as Shlamadong.
Oh, man. And this year we actually saw his other kid he made a movie with.
Yes, we did.
So he has been, this year is the year of him pushing his children into filmmaking.
It was Watchers, right? Watchers,
I think Watchers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think I hit the wall on this guy. I really have. I mean, I'll go see his movies still because we see everything and we like watching crap, but... I think it physically angers me.
Yeah.
I mean, I got really amped up and, you know, I don't like to scare you. And I think you were scared. And when I started to get amped up, you were just like, oh, no.
It's not about being scared. It's about, what the hell's the matter with you? You're just angry. You're standing there angry.
You know, I am angry. I don't know why.
We were laughing so hard during this movie.
You were laughing.
A couple of my friends were just laughing.
My mouth is just hanging open because I was just like, what is going on? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? I don't like his movies. I'm waiting for that one time, like my friend at work says, that one time you're going to walk in and you're going to be like,
wow,
that was decent.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't happened yet.
Every director has done it. Every director gets their one.
And one good one? Well, I think he's already surpassed it. He's already hit it. On day one, it was The Sixth Sense. He's not going to do any better than that ever.
People argue that that isn't his best because it's like hard to go back to it now.
Well, because you know everything.
Exactly.
You know?
It's not long lasting. So.
But when you think back on it, you're like, wow, this is great. This little boy was fantastic. Toni Collette was fantastic.
Well, that's, let's just say those three actors in that movie.
They were great.
They were top notch on their game. Yeah.
And I liked the plot. I thought everything worked out and gelled very well together. And I don't think he's ever going to hit that note again. I just don't think so.
Yeah.
So that's me.
All right.
That's all
we're throwing in a towel. Sorry this went so long, guys. We and I knew it would be too, because this is one of those movies and this director is that I just feel it's something to talk about. He really is to me. And I know that people might be thinking we're a little too harsh. I can see that. I can see why you would think that. It's just that when you watch as many movies as we do, you get to the point where you either see everything coming or you're so blown away by the bad choices that you can't even see, like, the overall decent to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to throw it in two piles.
Yeah.
And I always say I hate that because I don't think black and white, I don't like that. I like the gray zone. And
of course.
I think a lot of movies always automatically start in the middle and then you figure it out from there. And that's just him, I think, in general. So,
yeah, I mean, my anger has subsided a little. I mean, I could see it for what kind of movie it is. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, I'm giving it a four, but
I don't know what kind of movie it is.
Highly disappointed in this. I mean, I'm always disappointed, and I'm sick of being disappointed in his movies. I'm sick of it.
All right. Before we keep repeating ourselves over and over ad nauseum, we are very happy that you came and listened to us. We appreciate you. And yell at us on social media at Just Another Movie Night on Instagram and Joe at The Crafty Misfit, or stay away from her.
Oh, hey. I'm a sensitive person, okay? I don't like it when people yell at me. I do take it personally.
Don't yell at her. Be nice. For me, you can yell at me if you want.
Even though I get angry.
I like good conversations. I don't care if it's evil or whatnot.
No, I like good conversations.
Just come and talk. Let's chat.
I just don't like it when people say, hey.
You sons of guns.
Yeah, but I get angry. I can't help
you
it.
You bastards.
Goodbye.
Let's get out of here.
Enjoy the rest of the concert.